worthy to be praised. Worthy to be praised.
Hallelujah. Father, we just worship you tonight. Take the glory, Lord. Take the praises. Take all adoration. I pray that your hand of honor and your hand of power and great grace will be upon your son tonight. And then there will be great grace for us to receive. And our lives will not be the same again. I pray that there will be transformation tonight. There will be total turnaround. Destiny will be remolded. Power shall be released. And God, there will be testimonies of changed lives. Thank you, Father. Accept for accepting our worship because we've prayed in Jesus' name. But standing on vigilance, welcome Reverend Sam Adeyemi to the pulpit.
Hallelujah. Who is the most expectant person here tonight? I think I am. Hallelujah. Please let's have a seat. God bless you. Wow. Each time I come here, this place looks more beautiful than the last time. Yes, that's what excellence is about. It's continuous improvement. Amen. It's not a destination, it's a journey. So you just make it better. Just a little better, and a little better, and a little better each time. Thank you. Just a little better, and a little better each time. And then before you realize it, it's so much better than what you find in the environment. And the God that we serve is a God of excellence. The description of heaven in the Bible is, it makes us know that heaven is the most beautiful place in existence. So I always say that a church that is not clean is a misrepresentation of God. Because an embassy usually reflects the home country. Yes, an embassy usually reflects the status of the home country, because in diplomatic circles, the embassy is considered as part of the territory of the home country. So that's why the local police can't go in there to arrest someone. So the church is God's embassy. And here in Nigeria, I've been to a few embassies. There are embassies and there are embassies. Yeah. And the embassy usually reflects the status of the home country. So people can't see heaven. But when they see the church, they should have an idea what heaven looks like. Amen. That's why church is a place of joy. Because in his presence, there is fullness of joy. Amen. So church also is a place of beauty. So every investment that we make into making the church beautiful is worth it. Amen. So I want to say well done to every member of this church. And to commend the leadership of my good friends, Pastor and Mrs. Buki Ajide. Thank you for providing the leadership. I really, really celebrate you and celebrate God's grace on your life. I'm aware it's an apostolic grace. So It's not even just about this local church, but it's influencing the body of Christ. Amen. And the members of this church, you need to know you are under apostolic grace. Apostolic grace is pioneering grace. It's an anointing that breaks new grounds. And you can tap into that anointing. Amen. To break grounds in whatever it is that you do. That grace will work for you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I thank God for the other guest ministers this conference. Thank you so much for being a big blessing to us. Huge blessing. I thank God for Pastor Matthew. It's a bit scary, you know, to know that Pastor Matthew preached 3 days before me. So what is left for me to preach? What I should have done before today was to quickly send for the tapes or the CDs and to listen to them so that I could just say, you know, like Pastor Matthew said. So if you shouted when Pastor Matthew said it, you should shout when I say it too. Pastor Gbenga, it's nice to see you again. The indefatigable Pastor Gbenga. Only one of his kind. Hallelujah. Okay, because I can't say everything that I know in one night, we have a stand out there where you can get some of the books. They contain some of the basic insights God gave me that have served as foundation for what he's helping me to do. Success guaranteed by the blood covenant. Every African should read a copy of this book. Our forefathers understood the blood covenant, and they used it to create problems for us. Our generation understands the blood covenant through the blood of Christ. We're using it to correct whatever they made wrong. See, they knew what they were doing when they named their children after their idols, because they were in blood covenants with those idols. So when you call the child's name, you were calling the name also of the idol that was to provide protection. They knew what they were doing. But gratefully today, where they would have put the names of their idols, we put the name of Jesus. We put God's name today. Yes, because that's what God taught Abraham to do. To circumcise every male child on the 8th day. But the 8th day was the day they named the child. Then you will find amongst Abraham's descendants in the Bible, they will usually put God's name in the name. Right? The Jehovah will be there. The Jah will be there. The El will be there. That was God's name. So that when you call the child, you call both the child and God at the same time, because the two of them were one. In a blood covenant, the two of you are one. Your two lives are mixed together because the life of the flesh is in the blood. So God gave me insight into that and how to break free from the curses that limit us in Africa. Amen. See, you are a new foundation in your family. From you, everything changes. Covenants are transgenerational. In other words, whether you are conscious of it or not, it passes on. So whether you are aware there was a covenant or not, Satan wants to enforce the terms of the covenant. And if you break the terms of the covenant, you get curses. You satisfy, you get blessings. So many people around here don't know why they're going through what they're going through. They don't understand why. But there are what you call familiar spirits. They hang around families to enforce the terms of those covenants, reproduce in generations the same problems, the same battles. But in Christ, we have victory. And it is absolute. It's not partial victory. It's total. So, Israel, for example, did you notice, how could Abraham's grandson be given a name and God will not be in the name? Named after the circumstances of his birth. They said he held his brother's leg. So this guy must be a clever guy. They call him Jacob. You have his brother, his twin brother, Esau. You named him Esau, which means hairy. Two kids that God spoke about even before they were born. In the day when there were no scanning machines. If you couldn't find any name to name them what God. God said, two nations are in your womb. Name them nation one, nation two. Call somebody hairy. Funny man. Or clever man. It's crazy. The day God will change Jacob's circumstances, he went for the name. Yeah. What's your name? Say Jacob. From today, Israel, a prince of God. Amen. So the next time you call him, you're calling him and God together. So when you understand that, then you understand the reason for the names, the Elim, Elek, Emmanuel, Abimelech, Samuel. It is amazing, you know, that I cut off the L before because the name didn't sound smart. Samuel. When I was in secondary school, there's Sam. Sounds smart. So, when I got to understand the blood covenant and names in the Bible, I said, oh my God, the most powerful part of the name was the one I cut away. Help me to bring it back. So this book is very potent. It's powerful. So for us, success is not just you read some motivational books, you are doing principles. It is powerfully grounded in the covenant that we have with God. See, you can't go to a herbalist's house and be calling my name. You ask the herbalist to call my name. That would be the end of his ministry. His herbalist ministry, that would be the end. You say, oh, sometimes, yeah, they look in the calabash, they look in the bowl of water, they call someone. If the person shows up there, the person will have problems. If you call me, what you will see in that water, or who you will see, you won't like it. Because it's Jesus that will show up on my behalf. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's no longer I that live. It is Christ that lives in me. When I go maybe for visa interviews or whatever these days, I'm conscious of the fact that it's not me. I said, Lord, don't let them see me. I'm crucified with Christ. Let them see you. So whatever cannot be refused you, cannot be refused me. Makes life cheap, isn't it? Anyway, don't let me preach everything inside the book. Success guaranteed by the blood covenant. Ideas rule the world. Maybe I've sold the highest number of copies of my books of this type. It's a very powerful book. How to think from the Bible. And especially the role that the Holy Spirit plays. And then this one, Success is Who You Are, holds the basic, powerful insights that I got on success. Anyway, tonight is a military operation. The anointing on the house tonight is the Joshua anointing. And the Joshua anointing is different from the Moses anointing. Good. So I'm going to repeat your message, man of God. Oh, sorry, I just realized you're here, Bishop. God bless you, Sam. So I'm going to repeat your message. I can see you already. The Moses anointing can bring you out of slavery, but it's a different dimension entirely, going into the promised land and taking it over. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And I understand that's the kind of an anointing that works on my life. It's an anointing that distributes territories to God's people, helps you to take over in your own space. I'll read Deuteronomy chapter 9 and the first 3 verses. And I'll just speak as the Holy Spirit inspires me. Deuteronomy 9. Hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today and go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourself. cities great and fortified up to heaven, a people great and tall, the descendants of the Anakim, whom you know and of whom you have heard it said, who can stand before the descendants of Anak? Therefore understand today that the Lord your God is he who goes over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and bring them down before you. So you shall drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said to you. Someone say amen to that.
Amen.
So Lord, in Jesus' name, we receive a free flow of the anointing here. Inspire me to say what you want to say to your people. And as I speak this word, Heavenly Father, change someone's status. Bad faith in someone's heart. Yes, Heavenly Father. Give someone the marching order.
Amen.
And for someone, let the season of restoration begin tonight.
Amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. There's an anointing for promotion in the house.
Amen.
So, Lord, promotion does not come from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. God is the judge of all. You lift up one, you put down the other. So tonight, Heavenly Father, let it be the night of lifting up.
Amen.
And Lord, in Jesus' name, as you are lifting up people here, there are positions out there occupied by people who don't fear you. People who are working against your purposes. People who are abusing the opportunities you gave them, like Saul. So the day, oh God, Samuel poured oil on David, the anointing on Saul expired. So tonight I declare that there are people in positions, places, and tonight the anointing on them expires. Vacancies are created supernaturally. Opportunities are created supernaturally. For the people who are under the sound of my voice. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Taking territories by faith. Taking territories by faith. The great commission that Christ gave us is global in scope. Go into all the world. That's what Jesus said. Matthew 28:18. Go and teach all nations, all people groups. So, the assignment that we have is global in scope. Every Christian should be global in his or her thinking, not local. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. When we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, we become joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And in the process, we inherit the blessings of Abraham. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Verse 14 says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that they may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The blessing of Abraham. Now, the blessing of Abraham is a blessing that takes over territories. Amen? It's very important to be conscious of that. When we say that we have the blessings of Abraham, or we sing Abraham's blessings are mine, we need to understand this kind of blessing that Abraham has is the blessing that goes to a foreign country and takes over the country. And Abraham takes over the country with his descendants. Abraham became a government by himself. The descendants of Abraham need to be conscious of that. Spiritual descendants of Abraham. Why did Jesus become a threat to the system? Because he represented a government all by himself. That's why Jesus had problems with the system. And that's why his disciples had problems with the system. Because he said he was a king. So they couldn't take it. He said he was a king. So he represented an alternative government. When you have the blessings of Abraham, excuse me, there's no provision for you to think like a victim. A victim of systems created by man. I will make of you a great nation. That's what God said. So when you think, you can't afford only to think of yourself only as an individual. You are a nation. Amen? The challenge with us is we've been conditioned. We've been conditioned to think weak. We've been conditioned to think powerless. It's understandable. That's where we're coming from. Israel had been in Egypt for so long. They had been slaves there. They had been conditioned to think weak and to think like victims. Victims of Pharaoh and his system. But one day that Moses shows up, all the plagues are not enough to break the hold of Pharaoh, and God tells him, just one more, just one, the blood. Tell each family to kill a lamb, put the blood on the doorpost. That night, the power equation in Egypt changes. God said, I will execute judgment on all the gods of Egypt. So what God did was not basically a physical thing. It started from the spiritual. And he took the firstborn in each family and the firstborn of every animal, because the firstborn of everything had been dedicated to the gods of Egypt. So God struck there to show the Egyptians, your gods are powerless. Somebody else has shown up on the scene. That's what the Egyptians begged them to go. Begged them to leave. Because someone came who understood the covenant and who led Israel back into covenant with God. You and God together cannot be weak. You can be weak on your own, but you and God cannot be weak. You are one with God, and when you show up somewhere. So Abraham would go into a country poor. By the time he was coming out, he would be rich. The economy would not remain the same. He was on kingdom agenda. He was on assignment for God. I will make of you a great nation, not just a nation, but a great nation. So we cannot therefore, what I was trying to describe is Israel comes out of Egypt used to slavery. They were so powerful, but they had been conditioned to feel powerless. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1, Moses said to them, if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, and you obey his commandments which I command you this day, he said, the Lord will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. Above. You aren't supposed to be operating at the same level with them. He said, and these blessings shall run after you and overtake you in the land of the living. You'll be blessed in the house, blessed in the field, blessed in your going out, blessed in your coming in. God will bless your basket and your store, cause the rain to fall upon your land in due season. But you know the one I like? He said, you will lend unto many nations, you will not borrow. But you know the one I like in verse 13? He said, and the Lord will make you to be the head and not the tail. Have you ever tried to picture what Moses was describing? Because he was using an illustration. It was the picture of a cow. You will be the head and not the tail. They understood what he meant. Because head determines where the whole body goes. Head is where decisions are made. Head is where vision is. Tail, there's no brain there. No thinking goes on there. No ideas. Tail follows. And sincerely speaking, when the church does not understand her place, does not understand her destiny, instead of being head in the society, church is tail, being wagged by people running satanic agenda. I get frustrated when I see the church reacting. Entertainers take the lead. Sexual perverts take the lead. They define the agenda. They move in the legal system. They move in the economy. Then the church will be reacting. Come on. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes will be saved. He who doesn't believe will be damned. And these signs shall follow those who believe. The first thing, and he said, in my name they shall cast out devils. Oh, what a shame. For a Christian to be lamenting, if you see what the devil has been doing to me, what kind of a testimony is that? The demons should be running to their own camp to tell what you've been doing to them. Amen. Hello. Why should I be talking about what the devil has been doing to me? He should go to his camp and be talking about what I've been doing to him. The tail shouldn't be wagging the whole body. Satan is tail in this equation. When Jesus shows up, Israel was used to being tail, being victims, being poor. And God was trying to adjust their thinking. When he couldn't, he buried them in the sands of the desert. You will be transformed, he said, by the renewing of your mind. You carry that mindset of Egypt into Canaan, you will turn Canaan into Egypt. That's if you get in there anyway. They'll kill you anyway. With that kind of a mindset, they'll kill you before you get there. I might as well just allow you to die than throw you into the enemy's hand. So he waited 40 years until a new generation would come. When our expectations are limited, when our dreams are small in size, we underutilize the blessings of Abraham. We have grace to take over, but we don't. That's not part of our scope. So you and I, therefore, cannot be victims of the political system in this country. We can't. Those who laid the foundation of this New Testament church for us, government was afraid of them. Amen. I said they were afraid of them. So we need to get back right on our foundations. And the starting point is our belief system. Because what you believe is what you become. What you believe is what you become. 1 John 4:4, You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Past tense. When Jesus did, he did on our behalf. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. But the second part of that verse is where the catch is. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What? Our faith. Our faith. See, what Jesus did is a spiritual reality. But what brings it down into physical manifestation for you is your faith. Your faith. So, you've been told up front, the cities that God is taking you to possess as nations that are greater than yourself. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Get ready. The next 1 year for some of us is going to be exciting. Yeah. What seemed difficult before, you'll be amazing how easy it will be. Yeah. As you play your own part. Yeah. Some people here, this time next year, you'll be 100 times your current size. Yeah. So you want to take over territories? The first thing I'll say, have a vision. Have a vision of territories. Territories in this instance then are not just geographical expressions, but areas of influence in the nation. Some of us have territories to possess in the economy. There's a portion for you in this city and in this nation. There's a place for you. God won't bring you to Canaan if he didn't have a portion for you. There's a portion for you. And it's time to take it over. I see territories in the professions. Territories in the legal profession, territories in the medical profession, territories in the accounting profession, territories in different lines of business. Oh, yes. We're taking over. You're not going to be scratching at the bottom. You'll be one of the decision makers. That's what it means to be head. If you've not been there, target to be part of the top 10% in the next 1 year. Yeah. If you've been 10%, then go for top 1%. Yeah. You know, GE Corporation, their vision is to be number one or number two in any industry where we function. That's their vision. Interesting. That's dominion. If we're going to be number four, we're out. Only number one or number two. So, top 1%. So in this country, if they mention anybody's name in that area, your name has to show up. That's the anointing here tonight. Listen, it's an anointing. It's about grace. It's not about what you can accomplish, and I'm still going to talk about that. If you are taking over territories, God says to Abraham in Genesis 13, verses 14 and 15, lift up your eyes. Look northward and southward and eastward and westward as far as your eyes can see. Not what God can see for you. As far as your own eyes can see, he says, so will I give to you. So when I look at the territory of Israel now, I know it wasn't physical seeing that Abraham did. It was spiritual seeing. How far can you see? See territories. See territories. See territories. In this city, you will have a voice. Every city has a gate. And there are elders that sit there. Those gates were not designed for devils. But Satan has territorial spirits that he delegated all over the place. And they lay claim. They lay claim on cities.
They lay claim on nations. You want to take over your territory, you have to displace them. So, first thing is that you even have a vision. It's not enough that they called you a pharmacist. What kind of a pharmacist do you want to be? One that is blown here and there by the Nigerian economy, or one that is part of those who are decision makers in the profession? Because that's when we can influence the industry for God. Why should we be victims of people who are godless and who want to spread corruption and erode everybody's values as if we were not around? Amen. Have a vision. Have a vision of influence in the entertainment industry. Yes. We have to take over. Oh. I'm seeing Christians owning channels, owning media houses. Who told you all the newspapers that we have in Nigeria now are all that we need to have? There are new ones coming. People who are going to own more radio stations, more TV stations. Yes. Christians, actors, actresses. Because you can leverage on the fame to promote the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're taking over in sports. Taking over in sports. If Satan wants us to stay inside the church. He doesn't want us to be involved in anything. He wants us to believe that everything else is worldly. He doesn't want us to do politics. That's one thing he doesn't want us to do. He wants us to stay in the church, speaking in tongues and praying. And then godless people will go there, and in the legislature, they will pass laws that will be binding on all of us. Satan missed it. Those days of ignorance are over. We're showing up where it really matters. Because for some of us, we have territories to inherit there. Yes, we have territories to inherit in creativity and innovation. Science will still flourish. How do we develop without technology? And Satan sponsored guys, and they gave this country a bad name. Scamming people all over the place. But showing that the intelligence is there. The intelligence is there. And listen, you can steal till tomorrow. You can never make as much money as those who make money legitimately. The richest people in the world are not thieves. They are creative people. Am I right? The Bill Gates of this world, the Warren Buffets, are people making money legitimately. The thieves can never make as much money as people making money legitimately. So welcome our computer scientists, the people in ICT. Your season has come. Take over. Have a vision of taking territories. I have a passion for leadership. I'm taking on leadership on a national scale and taking it on a global scale. Who is defining leadership? Where will you get the best definition for leadership except the Bible? In leadership circles now, there's been the big buzz the last few years on servant leadership. Servant leadership. You know, the servant, something Jesus spoke about 2,000 years ago. There's nothing new. They met us there. We have the original syllabus. After the graduates of the world's best business schools ran down global corporations out of greed, then they began to make noise about ethics. Ethics, that's a big issue now in leadership, like leadership ethics. So all the business schools now, they must put courses on ethics. You met us there. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a source of reproach. We're taking over. Have a vision. Don't. It's dangerous to have a small vision when you want to take over territories. Have a big vision. Because God said, as far as your eyes can see. So I'm going to give to you and to your descendants. Now, I like that. When you are going to see transgenerationally. Don't see prosperity, only prosperity. See posterity. See enough to share down many generations. Your role in your family is very strategic. Many of us are first generation Christians. You're probably second. You're part of the foundation laying. If you're laying foundations, don't lay foundation for a bungalow, for your family. If Jesus tarries in the next 1,000 years, how far will your family go? How high will it go? Dig a big foundation. You don't have to finish it. Abraham didn't finish the vision that he saw. When he discussed with God, God was discussing with him about what will happen in 400 years. What he saw was what his descendants went back to occupy in Canaan. Did I hear you say amen? So, when it comes to having visions, don't dream small. Dream big. Tell the person sitting next to you, dream big. When you've gotten the vision, then I have news for you. Your territory is already occupied. You didn't hear what I said. That's not a prayer. The Canaan that God promised you, there are people living there already. That was what Israel was not prepared for. I'm taking you to a place, the land is flowing with milk and honey. You will eat bread without scarcity. You will own wells you did not dig. You will own houses you didn't build. You will own vineyards that you did not plant. And then they get to the border of the place. Moses picks some leaders. They go, we saw giants there. What were you expecting? The things God promised you in Canaan, where did you think they'd come from? That they will fall from heaven? God needed some people there to build the place. Amen. God needed some people to build the place for you. And the kind of people you see there is an indication of the size of blessing God has for you. Instead of interpreting them into obstacles, you should have realized they were your employees. If you saw giants there, then it means God has had giant-sized blessings waiting for you. Thank you, Lord. It's easy to look at the economic sector, the political sector, and to see giants. People who got there before you. Men of stature, they said. Yes, they have big names, big brands. Agreed. So the one thing you have to resolve is your territory is already occupied. However, the blessing of Abraham is a blessing that takes over territories. Say with me, I'm taking over. Hey. They were making the money for you. They were building the businesses for you. They were building the houses for you. They built the political structures for you. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. So you prepare for warfare. Prepare for warfare. You are going to take on giants. Moses said it there in Deuteronomy 9. You've heard about the sons of Anak. They're there. Yes, giants. Prepare for warfare. But ours is sweet warfare. Ours is sweet warfare. Okay? My next point is you need to be circumcised. Take over your Canaan, you need to be circumcised. What's the essence of circumcision? Because
when Israel was to take over Jericho, Joshua 5, then God says, Joshua, you have a whole generation that has not been circumcised. Circumcision is the cutting away of the flesh. It's a demonstration of the cutting away of human ability. When you have a Christian who's not been circumcised, then you have a Christian who knows what God promised, who believes what God promised. But when it comes to practically taking it, somewhere along the line, the person will resort to scheming, will resort to using the human mind, will resort to using calculations. And that's where there's a big problem for God. Because God's not going to use a mix of your ability with his to achieve his purposes. He doesn't need you. He can do it by himself. Just for one purpose. By the time the job is done, he doesn't want anybody sharing his glory with him. That's the lesson Jacob has to learn. Yes, Jacob, you're smart. It was God who put it there. That's your gift, that's your talent. But you must submit your smartness to the Holy Spirit. The wisdom of man is foolishness with God. Your smartness is going to fail you. Let God use it when he wants to use it. When God's giving you a promise, you don't work out how to fulfill it. That's manipulation. You will give back to Ishmaels. God promised you a son, then it looks like God is finding himself in a very difficult position. Sarah has gone past menopause. Sarah says, Abe, I got an idea. It must be an inspired idea. When she says it, Abraham says, I knew it. A woman of God. That's a good idea. Sleep with my maid. Because my maid is my property. So my maid's child is my child. Perfect. Then they produce the child. Abraham brings the child to God. Bless him. God says, Abraham, because he came from you and I already called you blessed, I will bless him. But it's not him. Because that's not me. That's you. So you know what God does? Says, it's because this guy still has strength. That's why he's still scheming. Leave him. Leave him until he's lost the power to do anything. Then I will do what I want to do. Then there will be no argument as to who did it. When you're a lifeguard, they train you. You're there by the Atlantic Ocean. You see someone drowning, go to help the person. But as you go close, watch the person very well. If the person is desperate, throwing his arms around, desperate, looking for who to hold on to, don't move close to him. Why? If he can grab you, he will hold you and he can hold your arms to your body. Even you will not be able to swim. Both of you will drown. So sometimes they just tread the water and watch the person. If the person is relaxed and willing to be carried and helped, easy. But if not, you have to wait till the person has run out of energy. That's then the best time to help the person out of the water. I don't know who I'm talking to, but there are some people, Holy Spirit is just treading the water, just waiting. This guy still has ideas. You try this, it doesn't work. You try that, it doesn't work. You try that, it doesn't work. You tell yourself, no, I'm a person of ideas. I'm that kind of a person. Ideas, 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 ideas. The Holy Spirit says, Liba,
Just wait. He's still trying. It was the same thing with Jacob. He's desperate. He needs help. He's going to meet his brother. He heard Esau was coming with 400 soldiers. Esau vowed, the next time I see that guy, he's a dead man. And now God says, Jacob, go back home. And then he hears Jacob, Esau is coming. So he organizes his family. The wife that he likes least to go first with her children. If he kills those ones, the rest can escape. Jacob, hey, too much bread. And then he is left alone. Then God shows up. And you see, the person who showed up to help him, the thing Jacob knows to do is to engage him in wrestling. Because you can't win with Jacob. He must win. So he's doing wrestling with God all night. So somewhere along the line, God says, guy, you are too strong for your own good. So he knocks the hip out of the hip socket. So now Jacob is limping and wrestling. So he said, when it was daybreak, God said, you know what? I didn't come for wrestling. I'm leaving. And that was when Jacob realized, this is not going to be good for me. I'm worse than I was before he came. He realizes he was wrestling with the wrong person. So, when you find out you're binding something and binding and binding the devil and the thing is not binding, take a step back and look very well at the situation. Because the one person you can't bind is God. And sometimes it's God that is not allowing it to work out. Because he's trying to teach you dependence on him, but you are too smart, too strong. You can, you need a connection there. You can always find a way out. But they are not his way. Jacob holds him. Says, unless you bless me, I will not let you go. Did you notice that Jacob didn't pray until the last moment, until God said he was leaving? That's the thing with schemers. That's the thing with the person who has not learned to trust God. The first idea that comes to them is not prayer. It's planning and strategizing and scheming. Then when everything else has failed, they remember God. People who have learned to depend on God, bring the prayer first. Lord, help me. Which way do you want me to go? And in fact, even though ideas are coming to them, they are asking, Lord, do you want me to do this? Is this what you want me to do? And they are not going to move until God speaks. So it's when he prays that God changes his name. And then the next time, and then when he meets Esau, the man who vowed to kill him ran to him and hugged him and kissed him. Because the Jacob that he vowed to kill was dead. For someone tonight, that's your message. Finally, I have come to the end of myself. Lord, I'm laying down my human ability today. Enough of struggling. Bless me. One small step that you take in obedience to God can give you the results you would have gotten over 10 years before. I've been there. It's not more struggle that will help you prosper financially. It's God's grace. God's blessing. You just find that you're doing the same thing you did before, but now you are getting a different result. Peter said, we toiled all night, we got nothing. Nevertheless, at your word. That's it. At your word. At your word. So, when you are circumcised, and our own circumcision now is a circumcision of the heart. Not cutting of physical flesh anymore. It's circumcision of the heart. Isn't it interesting? God says, now it's time for you to take Jericho. Then he said, but Moses, Joshua, hold on. Circumcise all the men. Hey! Circumcision for adults. Hey! It's not easy. Tell me, just about when you were going to attack Jericho, and the people there already got information you were coming, was that the time to now be circumcised? You will not be able to fight. That was the wrong time to be circumcised. You will not be able to. If they showed up, they'll just kill everybody for free. When you circumcise a 25-year-old man or a 30-year-old man, for days, you can't even afford to move. Any small movement, pain. Yes. That is the process. That's the process. Mm-hmm. That you will learn to never depend on your own ability anymore. God will first make you weak before he makes you strong. Because he says, my grace is sufficient for you. In 2 Corinthians 12. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect. Where? In weakness. Some of us are too strong for our own good. So this is critical. You want to take over territories under God? Learn to depend absolutely on God. You know, I have testimonies. The British High Commission has my records. Record of refusals. For me, the only way was to escape out of this country. That's when I was much younger. The only way I apply, they refuse. I apply, they refuse. Apply. U.S. Embassy, same. Applied, refused, applied again. But even the Dutch Embassy refused me once. Even Kenyan Embassy. It was just a technical problem, you know. I had just been refused the British visa. And then my pastor says, don't worry. I'm going to Kenya. Let's go together. And then he's going with some of us, his associate pastors. And then we submit our applications. And then it's only my passport that they return that my visa was not approved. I said, Lord, even Kenya. I mean, I understand UK. Kenya. There must be some satanic agents who are, you know. Of course, eventually, yes, we went to Kenya, but I was not happy. I was like, Lord, there has to be something. What is it? So I applied for U.S. Embassy visa. I'm refused. I applied the second time. It's just that second time, and I'm telling you, I had prayed. Some people joined me in prayer. We bound every devil that could stop me from getting the visa. Then I go for the interview. I'm sitting down. And then this still small voice. You may not get this visa today. I said, I said, Lord, every devil that could stop me from getting this visa today, we already bound. So if I don't get this visa today, then I will know it is not the devil. It is you. We had taken care of every demon. I was so sure of it. I said, Lord, if I don't get it, it's not demon. It's you. Then I get before the visa officer. The guy's chatting with me. Everything is looking nice. He says, can I have a look at your family photos? He looks at them. Says, is this your daughter? I say, yes. She looks cute. I said, thank you. I'm smiling.
Thank you, Jesus.
Until he says, well, you know what? I'm sorry. I won't be able to give you a visa today. I said, why? Then I gathered more documents. These small books I'd written. The letters I got from radio stations where I had my broadcast, and also I wanted to push the documents to him. He said, no, 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 don't worry. I believe you. I believe you. I'm just sorry. When somebody says, I believe you, what does he want to say? He said, he believed me. He said he believed me, but that he was just sorry. I just remembered that earlier conversation, and I felt peace. I said, that's fine. Can I have my passport, please? Every time I was refused the visa before, I walked out depressed. It's a very painful thing. It's like being refused entry to heaven, the way it feels. But this time, I walked out smiling. Because finally, I realized it was not devil. It was God. Went back, humbly, and I said, okay, so Lord, what do you want me to do? Sincerely speaking, that was where the turning point came. Everything changed. Our church changed. Everything changed for me. I'm here testifying tonight to say to you, you don't need to go through all those refusals. Why don't you do the prayer first? What do you want me to do? That's how you take your Canaan. It is under, it is by obedience to divine instructions. I don't know why I'm staying on this point, but I think the Holy Spirit is doing something. This issue of learning to depend on God and learning to wait for him. Deuteronomy 8 from verse 1. Moses says to Israel, the Lord your God allowed you to go through this terrible wilderness, and he allowed you to hunger and to thirst. He said that he might prove thee to know what was in thy heart, whether thou would obey his commandment or not. God led you through the terrible wilderness. Who told you that every time things don't work out right, it is the devil? God led you through the terrible wilderness, allowed you to hunger, allowed you to thirst. And many people don't leave that level because they don't understand the purpose of that season of their lives. He said that he might test you. He wants to check your value system. He said he wants to know what was in your heart, whether you will obey his commandment or not. Where does God stand in your list of priorities? Where does revelation stand in your list of priorities? God wants only number one. And that he might make thee know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. You remember that was what Jesus quoted when he was tempted? Revelation. That is what I learned to value. That's what, listen, it's the easiest thing in the world for God to get you 1 million by tomorrow morning. If you've never seen 1 million naira before, ask me, I can tell you that. It's the easiest thing in the world. The easiest thing in the world for you to get a job by tomorrow morning. Sincerely speaking, you can get a job you didn't apply for. One phone call can change your status. And it's God. When it's God. How did we get on Daystar TV? Pastor Buki was talking about earlier on. I had always looked on that channel and confessed, Lord, one day, but in my brain, I couldn't figure out how. Big TV channel. Then I'm in the UK, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me.
The church in Nigeria is making a mistake. It's being influenced by the culture in which it exists. That culture defines success only by the material. Success in Africa is you have a car, you have a house, you have cash. And the Holy Spirit says that's a mistake. And that the church also then defines success only by the people we can count. He said if you speak to 500,000 people in Nigeria, he said that's a massive crowd. That's a global phenomenon. He said if another 500,000 maybe listen to the CDs of the message you preach, 1,000,000 people heard you. He said if someone in the U.S., a pastor in the U.S. speaks to maybe between 12 to 15,000 people on Sunday, once they put it on TBN, CBN, Daystar, TVNet, all those networks, he said potentially hundreds of millions, maybe 1,000,000,000 people will listen to the person who spoke to only 12 to 15,000 people physically. He said, whether you accept it or not, he said, the person is influencing more people than you. He said, who people see is who people follow. He said, African culture is technology resistant. He said, you need to leverage your media technology. It's time for you to go global. I'm sure of what I had. I get back from the trip, we dissolve the structure of our media department completely. And I issue a standard. I define a standard. Anyone who can carry a camera in a TV station should not carry a camera in this church anymore. We're going global. We reconstructed the department, engaged a consultant, employed people en masse, bought a new set of equipment. And just as we're structuring that, a friend comes from the U.S., preaches at our midweek service. We're discussing in my office after. He says, Pastor Sam, you have a great ministry. You have a powerful teaching ministry. Do you plan to go on TV around the world? Do you plan to go on TV? I said, sure. That's what God told me. He said, you know what? I'm leaving Lagos tomorrow night. I'm going through the UK. I'll speak to Stuart. Stuart will call you, okay? Within 3 days, Stuart calls me. The rest is history. Within a few months, we're on the channels. We're on World Network. We get on Daystar TV. In other words, I didn't even need to go anywhere. God brought the opportunity to meet me where I was. I'm telling you, when it is God, it's easy. When it is God, you will be amazed at how easy it is. Listen, when it is God, you can bring down giants. But the key is absolute trust in God. So some of the things that undergird me today are the things God told me during my difficult moments. When you run into problem, therefore, you are going through your wilderness, be asking God, what are you saying? What are you saying? Because that's what he wants you to get out of it. The revelations I got about finances will last me forever. They're powerful revelations. Shifted my thinking, delivered me from poverty mindset. The insights I got from the Bible while trying to crack poverty. Awesome. Ask him. Amen. What made Abraham? Abraham was what God said to him. God will speak to you. When you act on his instructions, what was difficult becomes easy for you. So I said you need to be circumcised in heart. Okay, so we get to the final part of it. You must approach the giants. Ahaha. So now you are there. You pull out your tiny sword. You see the thing called giants. The big spear and big sword. God won't kill the giants for you. You see, I mean physically. The killing of the giant will happen on two levels. There's a spiritual killing. There's a physical killing. God told Israel, I will drive out the inhabitants of the land before you. But when they got there, they still saw the inhabitants. So the driving that God did was spiritual. God wanted them to take care of the physical part.
Because the spiritual had been done, the physical had no choice but to follow. But they couldn't trust God. They didn't have faith. In this equation, one can put to flight 1,000. And there were no video recording in those days. I think if we had the opportunity of seeing how Israel fought those battles, they would be exciting. They would be exciting. This is a ragtag army of people who were not, who had, there was no army before. They were slaves. They just formed the army. And they are fighting. Fighting armies that have been there for a long time with experienced people. The difference is they have God fighting on their behalf. They have angels fighting on their behalf. But it must be a cooperation between divinity and humanity. God has his part, man has his part. So what is God expecting Israel to do? Approach. Take that, your tiny thing, and move close to the giant. Move. And swing it. And leave the rest to God. 200 of them fall down at the same time. Yeah, that's what makes it. But you know the interesting thing? They won't fall down till you swing it. That is what makes it faith. That is what makes it faith. You need to try. And I came to say that to someone here today. Dare it. You need to dare big things. In the area where God has provided the territory for you, you need to dare some big things. You know, Pastor Buki was saying he wasn't going to tell you how much those slots cost on TV. On a normal day, I would run away. Oh no, I never started that way. When God told me to go on radio 20 years ago, I went.